it's on behalf of her client. Okay, next case, Richardson versus Astrew, Mr. Whipley.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Jason Whitley. I represent Laurel Richardson in this Social Security Disability Appeal. Notwithstanding the primary thrust of our appellate brief that the court should have found Mr. Richardson disabled as of December 7, 2009, the date of hearing, there's a preliminary issue that I want to address, and that is of the disability insured status, which expired on December 31st, 2009. As part of the Appeals Council record, I supplemented additional medical records because Mr. Richardson's health condition, his post-renal transplant condition, took a turn for the worst most severely in May of 2010, approximately 6 months after his insured status had expired. And that brings me to this point, which is, I think the administrative law judge, under the evidence that was submitted at the time of hearing, could have and clearly should have found at the minimum a period of a closed period of disability. And I say that because Mr. Richardson had 12 visits to the renal doctor between August of 2008 and February 2009. And then he continued seeing the renal physicians twice per month thereafter. During that same period of time, he had three surgeries on his foot, first on the right foot in July of 2007.
I've lost the thread. Now, is this something new you're talking about, or is this something in your brief, or what?
It's in the brief, but I think that it's a supplement to what we briefed, and that is this.
Well, I'm bothered by that. What do you mean supplement to new evidence, new developments, or what?
No, it's not new evidence. It's not new developments. It's a corollary to this.
Is it in your brief or not in your brief?
Absolutely in the brief.
Did you ask for the closed period of disability?
We did not ask for a closed period of disability.
That's the new thing.
Because I think the evidence clearly established that he was disabled as of the onset date alleged and prior to the onset of disability.
So I thought your yes, he has this renal history, which we understand, but I thought that you were emphasizing the problems that he's had with his feet.
We absolutely are emphasizing the problems that he had with his feet and the fact that the administrative law judge did not consider anything other than the foot surgeries and determining whether there was a severe impairment. He did not take into consideration the chronic fatigue, the chronic edema, the fact that the feet have to be elevated throughout much of the day, the fact that he cannot put his shoes on many days.
Did anybody try to relate the edema to the kidney issue?
I think it was related to the kidney issue. Obviously,
I was an offhand, complete, amateur would think it probably is, but I want to know about the evidence, though, in the record.
Well, the physician says he has chronic edema and swelling. It's the physician that he treats at the renal clinic that most directly addresses the chronic swelling. Now, the ALJ goes ahead and he's cherry-picking the evidence to support the conclusion that he wants to get to, which is he says, well, the doctor indicated that the edema was down or the swelling was down or it has improved. Yet he says in his letter to me that he has chronic edema and must keep his feet elevated much of the day. Now by saying through the year prior to that the edema was under control or that it was less than it was doesn't mean that it did not exist because Mr. Richardson, of course, is at home keeping his feet elevated throughout much of the day as he testified to. So by the doctor indicating that it's better when Mr. Richardson is at home doesn't mean that the edema is cured or this chronic problem no longer manifests if he should have to be on his feet throughout much of the day.
But what does Yoon mean in this September 2009 set of treatment notes where he says that Mr. Richardson's circulation is intact and other people are saying the swelling is either minimal or non-existent.
What he's driving at with the circulation being intact is that it exists, that his feet are getting blood, that there is circulation. Now, that doesn't mean that the problem of chronic edema related to the renal failure is non-existent and therefore he no longer needs to keep his feet elevated much of the day. Just the contrary. The doctor says that in his report, that he must keep his feet elevated throughout much of the day. Yet the administrative law judge, in deciding this case, doesn't even factor in any of that information.
I thought the administrative law judge really just didn't believe that the severity was as bad as it was because of this hunting incident and working on the car and stuff like that.
Well, I suspected that that would be an issue with this hunting, and I don't think the fact that Mr. Richardson, he's still alive, he has to have something in his life to look forward to enjoy. Deer hunting in Wisconsin is a 10-day...
It's a religion,
sure.
Actually.
And I think that the fact that he tried to do this and tore his rotator cuff in so doing doesn't belie his severe impairment. I think there's many people in northern Wisconsin...
What are these references to hardware?
Hardware?
Yeah, in the ALJ's opinion.
I think that would...
The word hardware repeatedly. What is he talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about when he's referring to hardware unless there was some hardware implanted when that...
Have you read his opinion?
That toe was injured.
On page 8 of his opinion, he says, there were no problems with hardware noticed. The hardware was not found to be tender to palpation, though the joint was. What is that about?
That was the implant that I know. Now I understand your question. That was the implant that when they did his toe surgeries, first it was the right foot, then the left, that was the hardware that he's referencing there was no additional problem on.
So they put in an essentially artificial support for the toe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Richardson was at the doctor 36 times during an 8-month period.
Is this correct? The ALJ said he testified that he couldn't do hunting anymore. And then it turns out he'd injured himself hunting.
I think
that kind of thing undermines the credibility of the applicant.
At the time of the hearing, he wasn't hunting anymore. I think when Mr. Richardson was perfectly honest, when he did his questionnaire at page, I think it's 181 of the record, he said that he enjoys hunting. And when he talked about his limitations and the things he can and can't do, he said he tries to hunt. I think there's many people in northern Wisconsin, they would use their last dying strength to try and claw their way into a deer stand, and Mr. Richardson is one of them. So I don't think that belies the evidence. What I'd like to point out, though, is the ALJ's tenor, and I'm talking about page 16 where he says, the evidence demonstrates that although the claimant's foot impairments clearly preclude standing or walking for significant periods of time, the claimant does not appear to be as incapable of physical activity as he suggests. And then the ALJ goes on to say, in his May 07 report of daily activities, the claimant stated that he mostly watched television, napped, ate, and took his medications in a typical day. 13 prescription medications, that is. Now, how does Mr. Richardson's description of what he does, TV, napping, eating, and taking 13 prescription medications...
But apparently, I'm not 100% sure this is correct, a little vague, but I think it was in May 2007, wasn't it, that he said that he couldn't do hunting and fishing anymore?
It's up at the top of the next page, 17, right after the section you were talking about. He reported, which I understood to mean, maybe this is wrong, but I understood this was still all in the May 2007 report, that these were hobbies that he could no longer perform, but it's December 08 that he injures himself while hunting.
I think in the questionnaire of daily activity, Mr. Richardson says what his hobbies are and is hunting and fishing on there. And
but why
well,
does
according
he say
to the ALJ, maybe he's wrong. He said in May 2007 he couldn't do these things anymore, but he was doing them.
Well, he clearly tried to, no question about that, and that's how he tore his rotator cuff.
Why do you say he can't do it?
I don't think he did ever hunt. I think he may have tried to hunt. He wanted to hunt, clearly. He was injured trying to. And
now, hunting means you go hunting. It doesn't mean you catch anything. And if you get injured, you're injured while hunting.
I don't know.
Anyway, the question for us really is whether, if these somewhat contradictory events are in the record, was the ALJ out of bounds in drawing a negative inference?
I think he clearly was, because he didn't incorporate all of the evidence into his decision. See, I've finished my thought. He backed out of the administrative law judge backed out of the vocational expert's statement that there were no jobs for someone in his condition, and then applied the grids as a way of avoiding what the vocational expert had testified to earlier in that hearing.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Whitley. Ms. Bentz?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I represent the Commissioner of Social Security in this matter. I would first say that any matter regarding the closed period of disability or deterioration of Mr. Richardson's case has been waived. Certainly, if his condition has deteriorated, he may apply for additional benefits, but I certainly am not aware of any evidence regarding that has been submitted in the record in this case.
I'm not sure that he could if his date last insured is December 31, 2009.
For disability insurance, yes. I have no idea whether he would qualify for supplemental security income.
Okay.
In addition, just picking up on what you were speaking of last, that exhibit that the ALJ references at 3E is, in fact, an adult disability support that is signed and is sworn as to accuracy that was presented prior to the hearing in May 2007. It's somewhere around page 176 of the administrative record. I think one of the main differences that we have here is that I believe that the ALJ did clearly consider all of Mr. Richardson's impairments, severe and non-severe, in determining that he retained the residual functional capacity to perform sedentary work, particularly regarding the opinion of his treating kidney specialist, Dr. Schwakow, which the ALJ, in fact, accepted.
So is it the kidney specialist, in your opinion, who's the one best qualified to discuss the swelling in the feet, the edema?
In fact, the kidney specialist especially said that he had swelling in the feet in addition to his chronic renal failure. He did not consider it part of. And the discussion of swelling is almost exclusively in the reports of Dr. Yoon, the treating orthopedist. So in Dr. Schwakow's opinion, he says he has renal failure, his condition is deteriorating and will at some point in the future likely require dialysis. And then he says, in addition, he has a constellation of other impairments and conditions, including chronic swelling of the lower extremities. So he separates it from the kidney impairment, which goes to the ALJ's decision to reject that part of Dr. Yoon's opinion, which said decreased lack of...
Can he actually sit all day in an office? Wouldn't his feet swell terribly? Doesn't he have to raise his feet during the day?
I believe what the ALJ's decision follows is there is no medical evidence other than that he in fact has to do so. He did certainly say, "I have to spend all day sitting at the hearing." At the hearing, said I have to spend all day with my feet elevated. But the ALJ looked at Dr. Yoon's report, where he also said he's disabled because he has to elevate his feet due to swelling and chronic problems with circulation. Instead, all of Dr. Yoon's reports repeatedly said his circulation is intact. They showed that the swelling in his feet gradually decreased from 2008 into 2009. The most recent report from Dr. Yoon, his treatment notes from April 2009, said that there was no detectable swelling and again, intact in circulation. The only time in the medical treatment notes that indicate foot elevation is immediately after one of Mr. Richardson's foot surgeries.
But the ALJ says specifically that he gives Dr. Yoon's opinion little weight, particularly this part about required to leave his legs elevated. And then he offers several reasons at the top of whatever you want to call it, page 18 or page 10 of 11 of the opinion. And he notes that Dr. Yoon prescribed orthotic supports in September 09, but didn't mention anything about elevation.
And nor did he mention elevation anywhere else in his treatment except immediately after one of the surgeries. And I think that was one of the ALJ's reasons for concluding that this is simply, this statement is not supported by the medical evidence and is in fact inconsistent with his treatment notes. I should add, although counsel pointed out, the ALJ did apply the grids based on an assumption that Mr. Richardson could perform a full range of sedentary work. The vocational expert did testify at the hearing that there would still be a significant number of jobs if a person...
Kind of Mr. backup testimony.
Pardon?
That struck me as backup testimony or something like that.
It is.
Now, with the kidney failure, though, is it realistic to think that he could perform the full range of sedentary work?
I believe the evidence does not show that he had kidney failure. The ALJ...
Was creatinine had reached 2.82, according to the
he did have month. He did have monthly blood checks that showed that they had to adjust his medication occasionally. But there, again, I believe that Dr. Schwalkau's opinion, which said that overall, not just based on the on his kidney condition, but based on his kidney condition, his the constellation of other medical conditions, and his reports of fatigue and weakness. Given all these things, he can't engage in work that involves prolonged physical exertion. It's a reasonable inference for the ALJ to go from that to say, okay, he can't perform prolonged physical exertion. Sedentary work does not require prolonged physical exertion. It also does not require prolonged standing and walking. It requires these things only occasionally, and that's a reasonable inference based on the law and the facts of this case. Again, even Dr. Yoon's opinion said, although he said he's disabled because he has to sit with his feet elevated, he stated that he cannot engage in prolonged walking, standing, or driving. The residual functional capacity that the ALJ found does not require prolonged walking, standing, or driving. As to the assertion that the ALJ did not consider the number of medications that he took, again, partly Dr. Schwalkau's opinion does take into consideration the number of medications, but the ALJ also specifically noted, and I believe this is at page 13 of his opinion, that although Dr. Schwalkau speculated that Mr. Richardson's antihypertensive medications may contribute to fatigue and weakness, in fact, his most recent annual checkup showed that he reported no side effects from his medications, and he repeatedly reported in material submitted to the Social Security Administration, including that May 2007 report, reports to Dr. Yoon and reports to Dr. Schwalkau, that he experienced no side effects from his medications. So the ALJ considered the evidence and reasonably concluded that any impact of his medications was fully accommodated by the residual functional capacity that he undertook, that he imposed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Benz.
You're welcome.
Mr. Whitley, your time had expired. If you have something you'd like to say, you can take another minute.
Thank you. I'd just like to end by saying that the vocational expert specifically found that if he misses more than 2 days of work per month due to medical conditions, he's unemployable, and if he has to have his feet elevated during the day, he's also unemployable. Both of those findings are clearly in the record. He had 36 doctor appointments over an 18-month period, along with three toe surgeries. So clearly he would have been absent more than 2 days per month from work during this period of time. And also with the foot elevation issue, the doctor said he must keep his feet elevated during much of the day. That's a treating, examining doctor, and there's nothing in the record to discount that or belie the doctor's opinion in that respect. Given that, the vocational expert testimony should supersede the application of the grid because there's no indication that the full range is capable of being performed given the fatigue with the 13 medications that the judge never talked about. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Whitley and Ms. Benz. Next case for argument.